Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
WNYC Soundcheck.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and George Washington is the topic of this song called Washington Dreams of the Hippopotamus, from the collaborative record of Great and Mortal Men. There's a surprising amount of history to be found in music, although relatively little about the American Revolution. And for this July 4th, we're aiming to fix that, and we're going to be as historically correct as we can be. We've called down to Washington, D.C., where the Washington Post's pop music critic Chris Richards has taken a break from, I don't know, proofreading the Declaration of Independence again, to put together a revolutionary pop playlist for us. Chris, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Just to keep you honest, Chris, on the line, weighing in on the historical accuracy of the list you've come up with, is Herbert Sloan, a Thomas Jefferson specialist and a professor in the history department at Barnard College. Herb, welcome to you.
Thank you.
So, Chris, you nervous?
A little bit, yeah.
You didn't know.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, well, you didn't know we were going to be vetting your playlist for accuracy here. Did you have a lot to choose from?
I didn't. I must confess I did not have a, you know, Founding Fathers Independence Day playlist in my iTunes preset, but I did go do some digging through my record collection, through my MP3 collection, and found some stuff that hopefully we can talk about, yeah.
All right. Including Brooklyn's own They Might Be Giants.
Lincoln, Washington, the not Jefferson guy. Lincoln, Washington, not Jefferson guy.
They Might Be Giants, with Lincoln, Washington, and that Jefferson guy. And that's basically, that's the song.
That's it. I'm hoping that the professor doesn't come right at me, because I know Lincoln was not a founding father.
Right.
I know that much.
Right.
Lincoln loved the Declaration of Independence. It was his favorite thing.
Oh, okay, there you go. This is a weird tune that I just chose it because, you know, when I was thinking of the names of the Founding Fathers, this song popped into my head instantly. And that's kind of the power of They Might Be Giants. They have this ability to get little jingly tunes stuck in our brains for our lives, whether we like them or not. And that's this tune.
Now, the American Revolution, I mean, this was a substantial moment in world history. Do you have something a little more substantial for us?
Well, I hope so. Another song that we chose was by the rapper Fabulous, Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. There's a line here about Benjamin Franklin, and it's kind of like, you know, hip-hop is all about one-upsmanship and kind of outsmarting your competition. And Fabulous has this great line where he says, you know, first of all, Ben Franklin was never elected. He's pointing out, like, this slang term. People refer to cash as dead presidents. But he's saying, well, Ben Franklin on the $100 bill, he was never elected, so get it right. So it was like this kind of like ahem moment from Fabulous where he sort of corrects everyone.
All right.
I thought our professor might appreciate that as
so,
well.
So some historical accuracy on the part of the rapper Fabulous from the song called Wolves in Sheep's Clothing.
Yeah, they say they out for dead presidents, never respected. First of all, Ben Franklin was never elected. That means them and Big Bills have never connected. They just say it cause they think it sound clever on records. Secondly, God's first should never be second. And if you living wrong, money can never correct it. I'ma say it once, and it's whoever directed. You never get off on me, I'm never the exit. All black, everything in my
Fabulous, Wolves in Sheep Clothing. Chris Richards, pop music critic at the Washington Post, picking that for our Revolutionary War playlist. So they say they out for dead presidents, never respect it. First of all, Ben Franklin was never elected. Not a dead president, but a dead founding father. Close enough for you, Herb?
You bet. I'll take Franklin any day.
So is this the first time, Herb, that you've been asked to vet a revolutionary music playlist?
I have to say the request doesn't come often. In fact, this is the first time.
Now, you know, I asked Chris if he had a lot to choose from. He said he didn't really. I mean, is there, you know, a paucity?
I don't think so. I mean, I thought about this after I got the call. to do this. And, you know, there are not a lot of movies about the Revolution either. About the last thing anybody remembers is that dreadful musical, 1776. And it hasn't caught on in popular culture the way some other stuff has.
Yeah, now, why is that? I mean, there are lots of books and films about, you know, the World Wars, the Civil War. You got Civil War reenactors. Yep. Why does the Revolutionary War sort of get, is it forgotten?
That's a very interesting question. I'm not sure I have a real answer for it. It's not forgotten. It's more remembered than the War of 1812, whose
sure.
anniversary we're now celebrating, in quotation marks.
are you, in fact, celebrating?
The War of 1812 produced one of the most popular songs of the 20th century, which was, you know, Andrew Jackson, The Battle of New Orleans.
Hmm. And of course, our national anthem.
Yes, and our national anthem, but I wouldn't quite put that in the popular song category. There may be no real connection between the importance of an event and the degree to which it makes a real impression on people. But the Revolutionary War has not been a big deal. Founding fathers are a very big deal. There's what we in the profession call founder chic, and you walk into Barnes & Noble or someplace like that, and there are rows of books about these dead white guys with wigs, and it doesn't stop.
Okay. So maybe, Chris, we should call your playlist not a revolutionary playlist, but a Federalist playlist.
I would be down with that. I think what the professor just said is really speaks to what you hear in pop music. There are not a lot of songs about the war, but tons of songs. Well, not tons, but a lot of songs about the figures themselves, yeah.
So the next one that you've picked is about a specific figure from the era. And in fact, I guess, Herb, this is going to be right in your wheelhouse because we're talking now about Thomas Jefferson, right, Chris?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's correct. This is a song called Private Honeymoon by the singer-songwriter from here in Washington, D.C., named Benji Ferry. This is a song that he told the Washington City Paper that he wrote after watching a Ken Burns biography about Thomas Jefferson that kind of was trying to trace his DNA to the contemporary times to see, you know, if there was legitimacy to his relationship with Sally Hemings. And this is kind of like a love song written from Thomas Jefferson's perspective.
Okay, it's called Private Honeymoon from Benji Faree.
Forgets for me, so I won't analyze, acknowledge, or look her in the eyes. Here comes a big boy, reckless just like mine.
That is singer-songwriter Benji Faree with Private Honeymoon. It's on Chris Richards' playlist of Revolutionary-era-themed songs. This one written, you said it's the perspective of Thomas Jefferson writing about the slave Sally Hemings, with whom he had a child, children. I guess, Herb, I should ask you about
children.
This. Children. But, Chris, you said that this was a result of the DNA search, right?
Yeah, and then Ferry had said in this interview, I thought was really interesting, that the only true history that can really be passed down is through our bodies itself. That was kind of the idea that he was trying to explore in the song, which I thought was interesting.
All right, Chris Richards, pop music critic at The Washington Post, Herbert Sloan in the history department at Barnard College. And Herb, what do you think of Benji Faree's song?
Well, I thought it was the most interesting one on the playlist. by all accounts. And I have to admit, I cheated. I, too, Googled and found his interview for the Washington City paper. And the, you know, the fact that there is heavy cello in this, suggesting Monticello to the, you know, insider,
I thought
was very clever. And, you know, it's not the full story. I mean, there's no doubt in the minds of historians that Jefferson fathered multiple little ones by Sally Hemings. And so that's now a given. But it's a, you know, kind of interesting take on this. And there was a great line in it about Jefferson writing fairy tales that never come true. And that's one way of thinking about the Declaration of Independence. Because at least in his lifetime, they didn't come true. And for most of his slaves, who, unlike Sally Hemings, weren't privileged, you know, the fate was the auction block after he died in 1826. So there's a lot of sort of the darker, deeper side of this iconic American figure that the 4th of July should, but often doesn't, remind us of.
Well, and speaking of the darker side, Chris, the next song on your playlist actually gets into the fact that the Revolutionary War was a war. There's this line, "Red, how the blood ran red, we laid our dead in sacred ground." Tell us about Dierks Bentley.
Dierks Bentley is a massive country star right now. This is a song called "Home," which is a pretty recent single off his latest album. And it's a very, very patriotic tune, but one to me that was a little more complex than sort of these boilerplate flag-waving kind of tunes that you hear from Nashville from time to time. Because there's a line that follows after that. It says, "Wonder what they'd think if they could see us now." And there's a sort of ambiguity to that line that I really liked. We don't know if they would be proud, and we don't know if it would be good or bad. You know, this is a really a love letter to America, this song, in many senses. But that line kind of threw a question mark into the entire song for me, and I thought that was very well done. Little craftsmanship from Dierks Bentley right there.
Dierks Bentley's song is called "Home."
That dream across the sea. Names, then they sign their names for something they believe. Red, how the blood ran red. We laid our dead in sacred ground. Just think, wonder what they'd think if they could see us now. It's been a long, hard. Got a ways to go, but this is still the place that we all call home. It's been a long, hard ride, and I won't lose hope.
Dierks Bentley and a song called "Home," referring back to the Revolutionary War and the Founding Fathers, and wondering what they would think if they could see us now. And Herb, this is one of the big questions facing, you know, our judicial system, the whole question of interpreting the Founding Fathers' intentions and stuff. He's getting into a pretty deep thicket of stuff here, isn't he?
But what's interesting about this is that it's not from necessarily a Tea Party perspective. So he's asking the question, but it doesn't necessarily have the standard answer, which I thought made it more complicated and interesting.
So that question mark that Chris was talking about.
Yeah, you know, what would they think now? It's not that somehow, you know, Chief Justice Roberts has betrayed the founders in his recent decision or something like that. It may be more of a question about, you know, did things turn out the way they wanted? You know, are we really the kind of people we should be, you know, given a certain view of the ideals? Have they really managed to last, or have we fallen off from what we ought to be? And that's not necessarily a question which necessarily leads you in the Tea Party direction.
Right. But, you know, that to ask that kind of question, Chris Richards, as you said, that's kind of an interesting songwriting gambit on Dierks Bentley's part.
Definitely.
We've been speaking with, so far, we've been hearing Chris Richards' playlist, and Herbert Sloan's been responding to it. Chris, pop music critic at the Washington Post. Herb is at Barnard College in the history department. But let's reverse the roles now. Herb, you came up with a pick for our Revolutionary Era playlist. What did you come up with?
Well, this is a rap song by a guy who hails originally from Washington Heights, who is enamored with Alexander Hamilton. And Hamilton, as you may not know, in the last 2 years of his life, lived in essentially where City College in New York is now, around 137th Street, in his country house. So he's regarded as a local boy up there. And this is apparently the beginning of what's going to be a very complex rock opera, and so far the only number, but it was actually performed for President and Mrs. Obama in the White House. And if you watch the video, they responded very positively to this. And we historians think this is just great.
So this is Lin-Manuel Miranda, probably best known for writing and starring in the Broadway musical In the Heights. And this performance of the Hamilton mixtape was recorded at the White House.
How does a bastard orphan son of a whore and a Scotsman dropped in the middle of a forgotten spot in the Caribbean by Providence, impoverished in squalor, grow up to be a hero and a scholar? The $10 founding father without a father got a lot farther by working a lot harder, by being a lot smarter, by being a self-starter. By 14, they placed him in charge of the trade and charter. And every day while slaves were being slaughtered, a carted away across the waves, our Hamilton kept his guard up. Inside he was longing for something to be a part of. The brother was ready to beg, steal, borrow, or barter. And a hurricane came, devastation reigned, and our man saw his future drip, dripping down the drain. Put a pencil to his temple, connected it to his brain, and he wrote his first refrain, a testament to his pain. While the word got around, they said, this kid is insane, man. Took up a collection just to send him to the mainland. Get your education, don't forget from whence you came, and the world is gonna know your name. What's your name, man? Alexander Hamilton. His name is Alexander Hamilton.
That is Lin-Manuel Miranda. He did the Broadway musical, the award-winning Broadway musical, In the Heights. He's a Tony-winning composer, rapper, and actor, and recorded there at the White House. The Hamilton mixtape, chosen for us by Herbert Sloan. Chris Richards, what do you think of that?
I think it's very funny. You know, I get to cover a lot of the concerts at the White House, but this is one that I was not invited to and missed. So, unfortunate for me, it really ambushed me today on soundcheck. I think that Miranda's onto something, though. You know, I'm sure you guys are familiar with the rapper Young Jeezy, who sometimes calls himself Jeezy Hamilton. So I think there's sort of like a Alexander Hamilton thing going throughout hip hop, and Miranda's wise to tap into it. And this goes a little further than Jeezy ever did, though, I think.
I mean, that's basically what we just heard, Herb, is basically Alexander Hamilton's early life story. Those are the facts, aren't they? Just laid out in rap.
It's 100% right, basically.
Now, I also wanted to add something to our playlist today. So I went back to an old, almost 30-year-old record by the Art Ensemble of Chicago, great jazz ensemble, and a piece called Prayer for Jimbo Quessy. Herb, do you have any kind of information on who this figure of Jimbo Quessy is?
I got the impression from trying to do instant research on the web that he was a soldier in the British Army, more contemporary with us, not 18th century. Nobody had a name like Jimbo Quessy in the 18th century. That just didn't exist. And that this somehow commemorates him. He, was significant for some reason that I don't quite understand. But it brings out the larger point that, African Americans had a very different experience in many cases of the American Revolution than most white Americans did. And for them, the British were the liberators. So hailing somebody who fought in the British Army may be some kind of way of sort of alluding to these different allegiances that people had. And it's not all the one story that tends to be remembered today.
Yeah. As the Art Ensemble of Chicago put it in their notes to this piece, it is a kind of a lament, a remembrance for the first black soldier to fight and to die in combat in the British Army. And they use this kind of faux revolutionary theme to kind of state the case. Art Ensemble of Chicago, Prayer for Jimbo Quessy, which I guess they thought was a Revolutionary War figure, but Herbert Sloan telling us he's probably a little more contemporary than that. It's certainly got that kind of British lilt to it, kind of a Yankee Doodle feel to the melody. And guys, Chris Richards, Herbert Sloan, what are you doing for the 4th of July? Have any particular plans? Chris?
Every year I head down to the National Mall, believe it or not, and watch the fireworks, you know, mm-hmm. right down in the primo spot. So that's what I'll be this year, and maybe I'll bring a boombox and play some of these songs as well while the fireworks blow up over our heads.
And Herb, what about you?
It's, I'll be finishing an overdue essay on Jefferson and John Adams that somebody is breathing down my neck to get in.
Happy holiday, then, to you. Herb, Chris, thank you both for being with us on Soundcheck.
Hey, thank you.
Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell, our engineer today, George Wellington, and our jingle today was recorded by the band Noah and the Megafauna. The show is produced by Katie Bishop and Greta Cohn. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook for exclusive streams and song premieres in our Check Ahead series. This week we're featuring a brand new unreleased track from the electroacoustic musician known as Careful. And don't forget to submit your own Soundcheck jingle. You too could make it onto a future podcast. All the details are on our website, soundcheckworkshop.org. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.